Let's see, we are related in the in that his son married my wife's sister, and we have my family. He was my family's pastor in southern Illinois when we lived there before we moved here to Kansas, and I worked with him in the Tent Maker Project, which is a mercy ministry operating in Uganda. And so I've invited him to share with us. This is one of the missions that our church supports, that your tithe money is going to. And I wanted him to share an update and also share some of the biblical foundations for what the mission is doing. So welcome, Wyatt.
I thank you very much for having me here again, and I think it was maybe 3 years ago that I was here. Since then, I have been in Uganda two times. I'm not a full-time missionary, nor do I go there full-time, but I am reliant upon two very fine leaders over there who do their work on the field, on the ground, we give a bit of direction from this side and serve a board of trustees, a board of directors that the Tent Maker Project is responsible for. I brought with me some copies of a journal, and this is what it looks like, and you'll find it back there on the literature table, and I invite you to pick one up and take it home, maybe one for family, and enjoy in a kind of a related sense the trip with me. So the Tent Maker Project is based in Murfreesboro, Illinois. That's where Nate and Paula and family were for a while, and we worked together and actually went to Uganda, Nate and I, together one time. So it's a pleasure to be here. Now, there is a picture of Africa. Now, Africa is a huge place. I don't know if I need to say that, but it's just an enormous continent. And you see that little white spot on the right-hand side of the continent? That is Lake Victoria. Now, around Lake Victoria are the East African nations that are comprised of Kenya to the east, Uganda to the north, Rwanda to the west, and Burundi to the southwest, and Tanzania to the direct south of Lake Victoria. So those are the East African nations. Now, this is the Ugandan flag. And I want you to notice that bird in the middle. That bird is the crested crane. And you need to take a look at this bird. This is their national bird. And if you ever get a chance to go with me to that country and we see these birds off in a field somewhere, you need to crane your neck to see this crested crane. This is a beautiful, beautiful creature that God has made. And there's just nothing that surpasses the crested crane, in my opinion, in terms of birds. Now, that is a very spiffy-looking place. That is Kampala, the capital city. Now, if you look at a picture like that, you would easily conclude, well, this is a wealthy nation. Well, in fact, it is. There are a lot of wealthy people there. But most of the wealth does not trickle down very easily to the Presbyterians in that country. And now this is an estimation, and I want you to understand that it is an estimation. If I talk to a Ugandan who knows the economy of the country, he might agree with this, he might not. But at least it's in some proximity the truth that 15% of the people, of the Presbyterians that I have met anyway, or middle or low middle economic class, but 70% of the people are in the low economic class. Now, these are Presbyterians in that country. We only work with the Presbyterian Church. It would be wonderful if we could work far broader than that, but so far we have the ability to work with the Presbyterians over there. Kind of know how they work, since that's what I am. But 70% of those people are low economic class. And then a 15% of the others are the bottom low. Now, these are the people that the Five Loaves Ministry, and you had a screen on the screen up above me a few minutes ago about Five Loaves. The target group for Five Loaves are these low economic people, the lowest of the low. These are people who have a difficulty of putting food on the table from day to day. Sometimes they live with one meal a day, and that is usually a meal without any protein from meat. It could be that it would be proteins from beans, but it's basically a vegetarian diet and very skimpy. These are people that sometimes have some ability for economic activity, working. They certainly can work if they're healthy enough. But they don't have the wherewithal to start a business or to demonstrate ability or the ability to get around in the city to carry on a job. It's a hard life for these 15% of Presbyterians over there. So Five Loaves targets these people. Tentmaker Project targets the middle portion there, the 70% who are low economic but have some means and may have a business already going so that they can work and be productive for their families. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary of our activities over there in these 3 years. Starting to talk about Tentmaker Project Economic Development, the loan project. What we do is we lend to people who have a need for a capital boost. Now let me take you back to the scriptures here. And let me just offer prayer right now, because I'm going to read the scripture to you and reflect also on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the one we read a while ago. And I just think it's important that we recognize that this is God's word, and God is able to bless this word to your heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have loved us so much that you gave us your word. And the living word came and became our Savior. And by your great mercy, you have brought us into your fellowship, into union with Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So bless this word, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the passages of Scripture that the Tentmaker Project is based upon. And it is the foundation. As Nate correctly said, the context of this project is poverty, but the larger context, of course, is the grace of God. Now, the grace of God teaches us this passage, for instance. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have to share with him who has need. There are three things about this. It is turning away from unproductive behavior, from idleness, if you will, to do something good and to be productive and therefore to share. So it's repentance and the fruit of repentance, sharing with those who have need. This is what we teach. When we go into a community, or should say a church community, and they say they would like to work with us, then we go back and we give 4 hours of training, and it sometimes goes into 6 hours, never, hardly ever less than four. We do 4 hours of training in the biblical basics of business. Usually, we have comments coming out of that saying, I never knew the Bible spoke so much about economics and business. Well, it does. And so we do that. And so we teach this kind of passage, and we teach others. Now, if you will take a look at your bulletin handout, let's look at that 2 Thessalonians passage. I'm just going to use the version that is printed in your bulletin, simply because it's easier to relate to the same version. Now, we've already read it. I'm not going to read it again, but I want you to notice that there is a phrase there that is repeated. Every brother who walks disorderly is repeated in the second verse. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Some translations say, we were not idle with you. Above in verse 1, those translations say, withdraw from every brother who is idle and not according, does not live according to the tradition received from us. And so Paul, of course, is talking about his own behavior here in verses 3 and 4. And he finishes his testimonial there with a reference in verse 5 with this dictum, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now this, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we teach over there. And this is what should be taught in American churches too, but usually these particular messages are ignored or not thought about. And he says also in verse 6, if for we hear, or the sixth verse in this handout here, the sixth paragraph, for we hear that there are some who walk according to you in a disorderly manner. That is to say, some are idle and are not busy at all, but are busybodies. I know that. I remember my very wonderful mother was very candid sometimes about some people she knew, and I remember her saying, that lady is a busybody. Unfortunate, but that's the way some people are. They're not busy working, but they're busybodies. They're minding other people's business. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. This passage is Christocentric. This passage is not about just doing good. It is not just about moralism. Okay, so you figure this is a deficit in my own behavior. I'm going to figure out how to change. Well, that's not the biblical truth. The biblical truth is to be in Christ Jesus, whereby he transforms us and makes it possible for us to do what is good. We do it out of appreciation to him, and we do it because he has enabled us to do it. So that's not just ethical moralism. That is transformation by the gospel of Jesus. Amen? That is transformation by the gospel of Jesus. And you know what I think? I think this passage is teaching us that because of God's grace, we should work and be productive and be gracious. Let me shorten that. Because of God's grace, work and be gracious toward others. That's what we teach over there. We teach people that as God enables you to be productive, then be gracious to those around you that do not have the means that you have, and help them. And so we put some stress upon that because we know that's what the Bible is saying. Because of God's grace, work and be gracious. Typically, in every congregation, there are some retired people, and they may ask themselves, well, how does this apply to me? Well, you may be beyond your working days, but you are able to work in your Christian community and be gracious in works of mercy, in works of helps, and then from that to be further gracious. So that's how you would apply it. So that's the point of Ephesians 4:28. It's not actually in that particular verse, but it's because of it's there in the context, the grace of God. So therefore, let him who steals no longer, and labor performing with his own hands so that he has to share with those who have need. So that's the biblical foundation, and that's how we do the work over there, primarily with teaching. These are our objectives. We teach Christian stewardship, and we boost tiny enterprises with loans. Who are they? They are members of those Presbo churches, and we try to accomplish these things, and usually do, I might say. This program has been just so amazingly successful, and it's all because of God's goodness that it has been. For his glory, to provide for family needs. Usually family needs we understand to be health and food and medicine and emergency transportation to do what is necessary. Children's education. Usually Christian families have a hard time keeping their children in school because all children, even the public schools, charge tuition. They don't know what free education is over there. They don't have any form of socialism in that country. Everybody is required to work if they are going to make it. And so to keep these children, especially girls, in school, these families need to work. And that's what we're there for, to help them to work profitably so they keep those children in school. Christian ethics and business. The churches love this because it keeps women from being abused by unscrupulous employers. So these women can have businesses of their own, and they can be protected by their own labors. So, churches love this program. Employment of helpers and the training of children in business. And I'm going to show you a slide about that a little bit later. Now, this fellow here, John, he looks a little bit proud, wouldn't you say? He's kind of looking down his nose at the rest of us. Well, he has reason to be thankful anyway, and proud of the fact that God has enabled him to grow some really good corn. He's got about an acre of, not corn, coffee. He's got about an acre of coffee, and I've seen that coffee grow, and it's just terrific. But he also is a corn grower. So let me ask you this. What do you do if you have a bumper crop of corn, but you have no external storage? What do you do with it? Well, you fill your living room up with it. Now, that's his wife. Her name is Dolores, and she's grinning. She's thankful to have all that corn. They're waiting for the prices to go up so they can sell that corn at a slightly better profit. A bumper crop. They had a lot of rain at the right time. And we saw two other families with corn in their house. One family had corn in every room in the house, and they were just laughing. So it was just amazing to see this. This woman here, She runs a general store in a little poor village, very poor village called Namiseki. And it's a family supply store, if you will. They sell everything from different kinds of beans and different kinds of rice to all other things that a family needs to operate over there, including cell phone air cards. Her daughter minds the school. Now, this daughter is a teenager, and she gets out of school in the afternoon. She comes and she takes over the store. There's her daughter. So when I said that the Tent Maker Project, whenever we issue a loan, if there are children in the family, the children learn to do the business of the parents. And so therefore, the children grow into the second generation being productive. You see that? So I think that's an important thing. This woman here, Gina, all of these people have repaid their loans. They all have done that. She's reaping a profit with her piggery, and she's branched into soybean snack food. And so I bought some of that from her and brought it home. I wish I had remembered to bring some of it with me so you could taste it. But it's pretty good. It's mildly salted. It's roasted soybeans. And it's pretty good. So she's doing all right. She's not asking for a new loan. She's okay. This is the Presbyterian Church in Uganda church building. All it would take would be a strong wind, and that building's gone. In fact, it has been blown away several times. They are hoping by God's grace. Now, that's a congregation of about 80 people. They're hoping by God's grace to put up a permanent building someday. This pastor, he is pushing the Tent Maker Project big time because he knows that it is because of the people's work that they can be productive and generous to one another. This beautiful young lady, Marie, she has apartment rentals. She also has a salon. It's interesting, the men over there refer to salons as saloons, and I kind of smile when they do that. But she needs a loan on a third building to help put the roof on, so we're going to do that for her. I think after this, she won't need any more loans. She will be able to proceed and take care of her children. Her husband deserted her and left her. Widow Rose Luangri, she has rentals. Oh, I could tell you the long story, but I'm going to spare you that just for sake of time. But this woman is amazing. She is a leader. She is an inspiration to the other women in that church. That's First Pres in Kampala. You've been there, Nate. And she is just terrific. She took an old outside storage building and turned it into an apartment. She asked for a loan. She went to the deacons and applied for a loan through the Tent Maker Project to put a better roof on that storage building, to extend it for about 6 feet and make it into a two-room apartment. Now, this would be an apartment that would be about, the two rooms would be about double the size of those tables back there. But she rented that apartment out and made enough money to build a second one. She attached the second one to the first one, got another loan for the roof on the second one. She rented that out and paid off the loan, and then asked for another loan for a third one, and it just went on and on. By now she has 6 apartments. That's a short story of it. But she's just such an inspiration to a lot of people. Okay. The brother read Proverbs 31 a while ago from verse 10. I'm going to take you through that again and just point out something that you might never have noticed. The passage ends with verses 30 through 31, but a woman who fears the Lord, now keep that in mind, she fears the Lord, she's a believer, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So that's how the passage ends. Now, I'll probably come back, if I don't forget, come back to these two verses. But I want you to notice some things about her. In verse 14, she trades. She trades. So she's a businesswoman. Now, if you read this passage closely, you'll understand that she's wealthy and she has servants and so on. But that's not the point. The point is her business activity and her frugality and her hard work. So she's a trader, verse 14. She works hard. In verse 16, she invests. She builds up her skills. She's reinvesting in her own ability, you might say. And look at verse 24. She sells garments. And she teaches others her ways. So she's not just doing it for her own benefit only. She's doing it for the benefit of others. She's teaching others to be productive and energetic in their enterprise. And I go back to the other verses. I'm not sure I can back it up, but okay, here we go. Yeah. What is she? She's a woman who fears God. So this basically means that enterprise, private initiative, market activity in a market-driven economy is godly. Of course, it can be done in an ungodly way. But if you have someone who loves God and works in a business enterprise, then that business enterprise can be done to the glory of God. And I have seen some people in those audiences where we do these biblical basics of business. I've seen some of those women just grin at that point, because they have seen so much dishonest business activity, so many shysters, and so much witchcraft that prostitutes business. And when they hear this, they smile. They're so happy to realize that God has given them an opportunity to honor him in business. This gives you some idea of how these were payments that were done in February year and a half ago. Look at the amount of dollars translated into dollars these repayments were on those loans. One of them was as high as $120. But look down the list. One of them was as low as $15. So some of these loans are very tiny. In fact, the average loan is about $300 these days. When we started out in 1999, it was about $125. There are some big loans, a couple of thousand, but very, very rare are they. Do they come along, and do we approve those? Most of them are small. This man, he is just so amazing. He's our primary tent maker project leader over there. How could we do this from over here without somebody like that over there? I just don't think it could happen. He's a teacher. He's our loan executive. He's a supervisor of projects. He's a counselor. He's a farmer. He's an evangelist. He's a church planter. He's a pastor. He's a family man. He loves children. Everybody loves this man, and everybody respects him. Edward Kasija. What a saint. What a prince. Now, just a few words about five loaves. Food and gospel to the poorest of the poor. You remember those bottom 15% people in the Presbyterian churches? Five loaves targets those people. Pastor Patrick Bukenya. He's a field worker with five loaves. He is amazing. This is what he does on a weekly basis. He teaches five women's savings groups. He teaches them the gospel. He teaches them enterprise. He teaches them everything that applies to their needs. The elderly women in his church distribute food to these very, very poor people. And he does personal work, counseling, evangelism, and so on, all the time. This is what Five Loaves does occasionally. Food distribution. We just sent $3,000 over to distribute food to the poor from six or seven churches. And this is a big outreach effort, because these poor people come to these churches who are made up primarily of poor people, and they just have a good time together. There's a gospel outreach and so on. We give grants occasionally to some one or two or three people who show some enterprising ability but have never had that opportunity. So Five Loaves gives a grant to get them started, requiring them not to pay it back, but just to show the fruit of their labors. And if they build a business up, then they can build it higher with loans from TMP. Mosquito nets and so forth, that helps children stay healthy. They don't miss as much school, don't have to have as much medicine. So, but here's a problem. Five Loaves' efforts with men's group have not worked out. This is a real big concern. How can these churches reach the men like they are reaching the women? Well, I think one or two of the churches are beginning to realize some success there, but it's a hard thing. Educational assistance. Now, by the way, Tentmaker Project spun off, is that the word, span off? Spun off Five Loaves into a separate ministry, and it's under separate leadership right now, and it's doing very, very well. We are also spinning off educational assistance into a separate organization so that Tentmaker Project can be focused on economic development. Educational assistance is going to be led by this fellow, Kurt Robbie. He is a PCA pastor in my presbytery, and he's going great guns. He's just so excited. He went with me on this last trip. He phased in. He caught the vision for those schools so quickly. Just amazing. I'm just giving you one picture of one school. Noble Kindergarten. Now, this is a noble work. This is just a few students. This is their second year. Here they are again. This church has a vision. I would say they are about a maximum of 200 people living in a wooden worshiping in a wooden slab building. It's highly air-conditioned. The air comes through the walls on every side. And the roof has got holes in it. And when it rains, you're likely to get drops of rain on your head if you're worshiping. That's happened to me there. And so they are building a brick building around the slab building. And when they get the new brick structure done with a new roof, they'll disassemble the slab building inside and probably sell the slabs. So it's a great ministry, and they are going like crazy. It is so encouraging to see this. Those people come to these economic development seminars in real, real numbers. We had 70 there at the last one just a month and a half ago. So there we are. Thank you. Praise God for his ability to work with us. And I thank God for your support of this project. It's very meaningful to us and very meaningful to the people over there. And every time I come back, There are half a dozen people that will say, please tell the people in America what we are doing and how they are helping us. And they repay these loans. What do you think our repayment rate is? 70%? 80%? 90%? Edward Kasizer tells me it's 100%. I have a hard time grasping that, so I'm going to say it may be as much as 95%. But that is astounding success. And so you are doing something that is bearing fruit. And so I thank God for your help. Just a few slides that you might find interesting. And just quickly, I know this is a worship service, but is it okay to laugh? I thought it was called dog food, but they call it hound meal. Little girls over there like to show off also. And I caught a glimpse of this boy after our worship service, and he said he would let me take his picture. I loved his outfit. I've got a shirt made out of the same material. I like trees. African trees fascinate me. And when we asked Patrick Bukenya, what kind of tree is that? He paused for a minute, and he said, we call that a big tree. I call that a rim tree. Or you might call it a wheel tree. I don't know. I just thought that was so interesting. I found that on the top of a mountain. Thank you very much. I forgot to ask you, if you have questions, hold them. And after the service, if you want to talk with me about that, ask your questions, feel free. Would love for you to come to me. And keep in mind, the journal of the last trip is on the table back there, and you're welcome to pick one of those up. Father, we praise your name for loving us and for caring for us and caring for our brothers and sisters in half a world away from us. We thank you for your mercies to the poor. I remember that the word speaks repeatedly of how it is that you are concerned for the fatherless, the widow, and the alien, and the orphan. And these churches are ministering to people such as those. So we praise you for their work and for their progress. In Jesus' name, amen.